Welcome to Love You Most. We're back for another episode, and I just am feeling good today. I'm feeling good, I think, because I went outside on a walk with Bane and the sun was setting, but it was literally still, I don't know, so warm, and I could actually see the sunset, which is so rare. And I also was just so surprised that it was after 5 o'clock and the sun wasn't fully down. So I'm fully ready for spring. I think it's just making me realize how close it is. And I do think that this year has been a very, very hard one for a lot of us who get just the winter blues. Somebody at my gym today, she was what'd she say? She was the seasonal depression has really been seasoning. And I'm I feel that. It has been heavy. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's because so many of us have had just a lot of gloom in our towns where we live. I don't know what it is, but it has been seasoning and I'm ready for it to unseason. The only thing that I can say I am very confident in is the fact that spring is coming and I will be happier when it's here. But let's get into the episode. This episode is, I don't want to say it's unique, but I think it's one that will be good to really focus on going into the next season of life for most of us, which is a whole new year. Even though it is February, it still feels so fresh and new to me, for the first 3 months of the year. I don't know if anyone else is like that. I don't know, January, February, March all feel like January vibes to me, if that makes any sense at all. So they all feel very fresh and new. There's so much possibility. And then I feel once we get into April, May, June, then I feel we're really digging into the year. So I don't know. I feel maybe I'm the only one like that. I don't really know. But this episode is all about the secret to living your best life, living your best year, living your best month. Just the things that I think that have helped me to have a better life. As you, many of you know, the last episode I talked about how I really struggled in high school and college, and a lot of things helped me to shift my frame of mind, but also just a lot of tactical things that I still hold on to now and implemented then, that I still do now, I think are really important. So I want to share all of those in this episode. But before we get into that, I want to just kind of do a little, I don't know, update on life. So I've shared recently that my mom, she actually moved to a warmer area. So she is a lot farther than she used to be, which is kind of sad. And I've just had a lot going on family wise. And so I think I've had to really ground myself, just dig my heels in and be you're gonna be okay. It feels really hard right now, especially with the gloomy weather and change and all the things. But just I don't know, ground myself in the fact that I do have a good family, and that I don't know, just because things are changing doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad. It just means that it's different and it could be good. I just have to have a positive perspective about it, because I don't know whether it's going to be something that's going to be terrible. You know what I mean? So there's that. And then along with those changes, obviously there's a new year. I have a lot of things that I want to do this year that I have been wanting to do for a while. I really want to get our yard in order this year. We are not nature-y, outdoorsy garden, yard people. We've never been that. And granted, I love being outside in nature, just gardening in itself. We just have never really been good at that. But this year I really want to do that. And today it was 50 degrees. And my first thought was I want to go outside and start just moving stuff into the garage, out of the garage, just getting things in order. So I feel that spring cleaning bug is kind of starting, which is good. So those are all the kind of things that are really on my mind or just happening in my life. I feel I've started to get a little bit more comfortable, hanging out with friends and stuff. Obviously, since the funeral a few months ago, if you guys don't know, you probably do know, because I feel I've shared a lot about how I felt and how I'm working through things. But since my dad's funeral, I feel like there was a long time where I like was not interested in like hanging out with friends. I didn't want to be around people. I just kind of wanted to just be very secluded. And now I feel like I'm just opening myself up to being around people more. But also, like, I finished my laundry and I was literally, I'm not even kidding, probably like 40 loads behind in my laundry and just like, just down bad. Like, I was like, how am I going to get any of this done? Like, and the fact that that's done and like the house is in order and things are kind of getting back into like a regular schedule, I don't know, it feels good. It feels really good. I do have like a little post that I did on grief on my Instagram, and I might share that here if that's something that you guys want to like listen to. But if you just like want like a little bite-sized piece of like the things that have been helping me through grief, you can go over my Instagram on my feed and just like look at that. A lot of like these ideas actually come from Instagram, and I just kind of flesh them out and talk about them deeper. But sometimes I'm like literally not ready to talk about it. Like the post that I made about grief that has like the things I'm working through, I just am like literally not ready to talk about it because I know that like emotionally that's something that is just like very tender and fresh for me right now. So if you want like a bite-sized piece of how I'm working through things, you can go over there. But let's get into the secret to living your best life. The first thing that I think will really help you live your best life is to learn to be completely fulfilled by what you have right now. And I did not used to be like this at all, and I still am working on it now. I'm definitely a lot better at it, but I feel like in the past, I used to just like look at what everyone else had, like new cars, they had more money, they had more friends, they had, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I had like not enough. And I think a perfect example of that is if you like were to read through my old emails, they would just be like so sad because I'm focused so much on what other people have and what other people are doing and what I don't have. And I think when you do that, you just like, I don't know, feel really empty. You feel like there's something missing always because there's always something that someone else is going to have that you don't have. So learn to be fulfilled by what you have right now. And I'm not saying that you can't strive for better or strive for more, but I think there's a difference in like working towards better and more and like being so like desperate for like change and for something better and not being grateful for where you are, because there's always going to be something better. Like you can get that promotion or get that new job or get more money or get more friends or whatever, and then literally turn around and be like, okay, well now I have this, but I want this instead. Like, so I have more friends, but now I want friends maybe who like want to travel more. And now I want friends who want to do this with me more. Or I got a new job, but now I want a promotion in this new job. Or I got a new job, but now I want to like have more freedom within my job or whatever. Like there's always going to be something that you can like desire. And I think when you're not completely fulfilled with your life or just like being grateful for it, and I think that that's where the fulfillment comes in. But when you're not, I feel like you're just going to constantly be sad because nothing is ever good enough. So I think that that's a really good start to just having a really good life. And another secret to living your best life is to remind yourself that it's never too late to reinvent yourself or reinvent who you are. And I think that this is something I feel like we should tell, like, I don't know, literally anyone, but especially people who are in their 20s, because when I was in my 20s, I was like, okay, I need to like get my job, the job I'm going to stay at forever. I need to like hold on to my high school friends, and I need to like, you know, find like a partner, which I mean, obviously I did, like Brady and I got together at 19, but like, I just had all these ideas in my head of like, I need to get this thing that's going to last forever because like, I don't know, I need to start building this like great life. And maybe that's just like how things used to be. Like, I can't even say like whether that's true or not, because obviously like I'm only in my early 30s, but maybe that's how things were. Like everyone just like figured out everything really early and then they just stuck with that. But you can change. And I feel like we need to give ourselves grace to do that. I think about how when I went to college for a degree in nursing and didn't end up doing that. And I ended up switching to a degree in secondary education, added on a minor in sociology, started working with people that have like different needs and neurodivergent children, and worked in that field for like 8 years. And then I was like, you know what? It's really fun to hang out on the internet. Let me like actually do this for my job. And I ended up switching to that. But within that, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I worked at, I was like a what's it called? An assistant for, like a front desk person for a like company that was downtown. What else did I do? I worked at a pizza place where I had to like stay there till 2 a.m. And I remember I would just like mess around with my friends, and I ended up getting like fired from there because they were like, you have to stay until like 2 a.m. and stay through your Christmas break. And I was like, no, I can't do that. And they're like, okay, well, you're fired. And like, I just have had so many different jobs, but also I've had so many different friends. I've had so many different versions of myself, and I didn't even realize it as those versions of myself were like coming into fruition because I was just changing and evolving. But if now that I like look back, I'm like, okay, I had my party era, I had my sad era, I had my like wannabe CEO living in New York City, like be super successful era. And now I'm in my like cozy era, like reading books era, and like wanting to do puzzles and just like, you know, that kind of thing. And all of those eras, there's nothing wrong with any of them. They're all like great versions of me, but they've all like, I don't know, turned me into the best version of myself, which is who I am right now. And I'm sure 10 years from now, I'll be different. And what's funny is I was actually just talking to Brady the other day, and he was like, I like really love this version of you. And I think that that's so cool. But as I was like listening to him say that, what was really cool was he didn't say, I love this version of you, but like, I didn't like the other versions. It's just like, I love who you are. And like, you know, that's like great who you are right now, but like, there's nothing wrong with the other people that you used to be either. So I don't know, you always have the ability to reinvent yourself. Don't feel like you have to become everything that you need to be right now and everything that you're supposed to be at age 50 and 60 right now, because you will change. And like, that's very normal. And another thing that will like just really help you to live your best life is to focus on the good. And this kind of goes back to my journal era, because I feel like I talked about this a lot because I didn't realize how detrimental this was just to like my life and decisions and things. But literally, I would focus on the bad like all the time. Like if I spilled my coffee, my day was like over. Granted, I wasn't drinking coffee, but I'm using that as like a metaphor. Like if something small happened within my day, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this is the worst day ever. Like the day is over, like scrap this day, start again tomorrow. Like I don't know even what it was. And maybe it was just like my perspective, or I can't even really pinpoint like why I like thought that way. And maybe it's because I'm so far removed from that person. Like I can't even, like if something bad happens now, I'm like, okay, like what else could happen? Like that's probably the worst thing that's gonna happen today. So like if that's the worst thing, then like that's fine. Like I'm sure there's gonna be a million other great things. Or I don't know, I just like, I have changed my perspective so much that I can't even like visualize being that person I used to be that was focusing on the negative, because I am so far removed from her. But focusing on the good really helps you realize like how many good things are in your life. And I think so many people are like, oh, you should be grateful, like have gratitude, like write in a gratitude journal, like write, you know, blah, blah. I don't do any of that. Like I don't write in a gratitude journal. I don't write down what I'm grateful for. I just like literally notice it. Like, and I think sometimes with like self-love or self-help or self-growth or self-development or whatever, we get too in the weeds of like, you need to sit down and like journal and listen to slow meditation music. And like, not saying that that's like bad, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think like, for one, like as humans, we just don't really have time to just be like sitting down for 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like I don't, at least. But that doesn't mean that you can't be just as intentional, even like in a busy day. And so like for me, I feel like whenever I am just like outside or working or whatever, I just notice things that maybe I wouldn't have if I didn't like actually focus on it. And I think the more that I focus on it, the more I see it. So for example, I'll be working and maybe I'm like a little stressed because I have a deadline, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have this job that like I absolutely love. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm working from home, which I also absolutely love. And like, oh, well, okay, along with working from home and having this job that I love, I also have management that I love and a husband that I love And like, I'm sitting on this couch, which maybe the couch isn't like the best and we could probably get a new one, but this blanket is so soft. And like, I'm so glad that I got this blanket. So like, as small as those, like just teeny tiny things, I think when you notice more of it, it just makes like, I don't know, it just makes you feel happy. It's kind of like when you go to like a new Airbnb or you like go on vacation, you can literally see nothing wrong with like the house or like the city or the town. Like, you're walking around, it could be gloomy and rainy, and it's just like, wow, what a beautiful day. Let's romanticize the rain. Like, there's just nothing that can like dim your shine. But then at home, it could be like sunny. It could be like the best day ever. And I feel like we find the smallest things to make it like the worst day ever. So I don't know. That's something that's really helped me, but just like really focus on the good and you'll see more of it and it'll just make your life better. And another way to start living your best life is to start paying attention to the beauty of the world around you. And I think that kind of ties into focusing on the good, but this is more in like a physical sense of like touching grass or like just like sensory things, I think really help to like connect that, I don't know, moment in your mind to like something that you're not going to forget. And I think very often, like, we don't really touch things and feel things and smell things or listen to the sounds of things because we're so like busy. Like, even when I'm outside, I feel like sometimes I'm scrolling my phone or just like thinking about what I need to do next and just not really focusing on that moment. So when you start to pay attention and actually notice what's around you, I think it is just such a beautiful thing. And another thing that will really help you to live your best life is to do things that will make your younger self happy. And there are a million and one things I could say that would make my younger self happy, but I don't know. I feel like we have so many dreams when we're young. Like, I want to be an actress and I want to like do this and do that. And then as we get older, we fall away from those dreams. But I can guarantee that you are probably living in a dream right now, like living in a moment that you dreamed of as a child right now that you're not even like focusing on or paying attention to. Like, maybe you're married to the love of your life, or maybe you have like the best dog. Like, when I was younger, I wanted a dog so bad that I had a dog comforter. I had stickers. I put them all on my baseboard around my like bedroom, and they were all dog stickers, like these square dog stickers. And I take that back. I wanted a dog comforter. My parents got me a smiley face comforter, which is a huge point of contention for younger Shaughnessy, but I literally don't care now. And I remember I got a like robo dog. I don't know if you guys remember that toy where it's like literally a robot dog. And I got one of those and I was like, I'm going to show my parents like how well I can take care of a robo dog so that I can get my own dog. And like, obviously they're like, this is not the same as a real dog. But I think in my head, I was like, no, this is for sure. This is the same. Like, I'm taking it outside. I'm like feeding it its fake dog food. But anyway, I like wanted a dog so bad. And like, now I have one. It's so easy to take that for granted. And younger Shaughnessy would be literally doing freaking backflips because she has her own dog that she can walk, that she can feed, that she can cuddle. Like, I was obsessed with dogs. I would make like t-shirts with like dogs, like pictures printed on the front. Like, I love dogs so much. And I'm sure that there's so many other things. Like, maybe you're really into computer games. Like, I think back to when I used to play like Nancy Drew computer games. And I remember I would like have computer time and I would have to like get off because I had five other siblings who also wanted to use a computer. Younger Shaughnessy would be like, it is wild that you get to be on the computer as long as you want, or be on your phone as long as you want, or it's wild that you get to drive a car. Like, it's just, I don't know, all these small things that I feel like we could easily just push under the rug. Our younger self would be so happy that we are doing those things. And also, you still have the ability to do more things. So like, maybe younger you like to climb trees or do puzzles or whatever, and you've like forgotten that part of yourself. You can reignite that part of yourself to like connect with the younger part of yourself that's still there. She just like, I don't know, or he just needs to like be awakened a little bit. So I don't know. I think doing things that make your younger self happy will in turn make you really happy. And another thing that I think will just really make you or help you to live your best life is to surround yourself with people that actually make you feel better and not worse about life. And this is a big one. I feel like there's always one part of the episode where I'm like, this is a big one. Honestly, all of them are big things, but this is a big one because for one, people you're around will really change your perspective on life. Like, I've noticed that if I'm around people who talk negatively about themselves, talk negatively about just like life in general, or who constantly like focus on the bad or just see like the negative parts in the world so like clearly, and like I don't know if clearly is the word, but see it so much more than like anything else, I start to pick up on those traits, which you would think would be the opposite. You would think that maybe I would inspire them to like think a little differently, but no, I am a like very easily influenced person, and I feel like if someone's in a bad mood, I'm also in a bad mood. Like I think that if you're around people who are just like, I don't want to say energy suckers because I feel like that's such a bad thing to say, but like literally suck your energy. And that doesn't mean that they're bad, but like there's something about them that makes your energy lower. Like maybe that's someone that you should just really like think about, is this someone that I want to be around often? And I'm not saying to completely cut them off, but like really take into consideration who you're around and who is playing like a big part in your life, because I know they're definitely affecting it. And I think when you start to surround yourself with people who like actually make you feel better about life, it just like changes things so much. Like I think back to whenever I had friends in college, and I say friends like the word very loosely because they were really people I wanted to hang around, and I was just like, please invite me to these places. Please. Like, I want to come. Like, please. Obviously, I wasn't saying that, but I was giving that like vibe. And they're like, oh, like, I guess we can invite her. Like, I guess she could come. Or like, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to go to this place this weekend. I'm like, oh, like, can I come? Like, oh, like, I wasn't invited, but like, I'm inviting myself. And I don't think it's bad to invite yourself. I'm just using it as an example because I do think that sometimes people will like just forget to invite people. But like, you know, the vibes, like the people who are like, like, you might hang around me, but only when I decide that I, like, want you to be around me. And I had a lot of friends who were like that, but also I didn't have, I don't know, self-worth enough where I could just be like, okay, maybe these are just aren't the friends for me. Like, maybe we don't vibe, maybe we don't get along. And I don't know, I now have friends that, like, make me feel so good. Like, I just night and day, like, I feel so much more myself. Like, I could be silly and goofy now, and I feel like back in the day whenever I would have like older friend groups, I felt like I couldn't be myself. I had to dress the right way, say the right things. If I said the wrong thing, it would maybe make someone upset. Like, things would get taken out of context. I remember, and I don't even know if I've told this story before, but one time I swear I had a friend, or like a friend group that reminds me so much of like the Mean Girls friend group. And it was kind of around like when the movie came out. So maybe they were like literally trying to act like that. I don't know. But I remember one time I was on the phone with one of my friends, and she was like, so what do you think of so-and-so? And I was like, oh, like, she's fine. Like, and at the time I really had zero opinion. Like, I didn't really have any confidence in myself to actually be like, this is how I feel, this is what I think, like, or just like disagree with anyone. I was very agreeable, mostly because I didn't want people to like dislike me. I was a big people pleaser. So I remember I was on the phone, and this girl, she's like, so what do you think of her? I was like, oh, she's like fine. She's like, oh, so you like her? And I was like, well, yeah, like, you know, there really isn't anything that like makes me like not like her. And she's like, oh, like, you do? And so she's like really digging. I was like, okay, this is weird. Like, why are you asking me so much if I like her? And like, she was just asking like weird questions. And then come to find out, like, literally I was on three-way. Like, she put me on three-way with this other girl. And so the girl like pops up on the phone. And she, I forget what she said exactly, but she was kind of like, oh, like, I'm glad you like didn't talk about me or something. Like, she's on the phone the whole time. And I'm like, what terrible friends. And not only did I get off that phone call, I laughed on that call, got off that call, and like we hung out. Like, we hung out for years after that. Like, that is not a good friend. Like, there are so many stories that I have like that where I just like let people walk all over me just because I wanted to have like good friends, and I didn't realize how much they were sucking out of my energy and like taking away from like the person that I could have been. And they were like making me into someone, or I was making myself, I guess, into someone else because I wanted to be accepted by them. So surrounding yourself with people that actually make you feel better about life and not worse about life will totally change your life, and sometimes even change like who you are and who you feel comfortable being. And another thing is to indulge in sensory experiences that connect you with the world around you. And that's kind of similar to like what I was sharing with like paying attention to the world around you. I feel like they're very, very similar. So I don't need to harp on that too much. But just like getting out in nature, getting out in doing things that you can like really connect in a sensory way, like feel, smell, hear, like that kind of thing. I feel like it will just make you, I don't know, just make you live the best life. And the last thing, the last two things that I think will help you live your best life is to try something new and to do something that scares you. And I think the last one is even like the very best way to end this little chat, because doing things that scare you just feels like something you shouldn't do. Like, I think as kids, when our parents are like, ooh, like it's hot, like don't touch it, like you want to stay away from it because you're like, oh, that's hot, like I'm going to get burned. And I think it's the same with like things that scare us. Like we almost put them in the same kind of category. Like if something feels like it's going to hurt us, harm us, or scare us, or just like make us not feel good, or potentially have some kind of discomfort, we want to like pull away from it. But I think with things that like bring fear, or just like make us feel a little uncomfortable, especially things that we want to do, I think we should really lean into that, because I think that that's where like change happens. And I don't know, it's obviously scary. Like it's literally where like the whole conversation started. Like it's scary to do things that are like new, but if you don't like do anything that scares you, you're literally just like, I mean, obviously you're comfortable, but you're just living in like a life that has no change. And like, I don't know, that's not fun. So, and that's not gonna like, I don't know, make you have your best life. So it, for lack of a better word, just like do things that scare you. It will make a big difference in your life and will really help you to live your best life. And yeah, I hope that you guys really enjoyed all of this little chat. Let's get into the Q&A. You guys asked a few questions, and then actually, let's read some of the reviews that you guys left first, because I think that will be maybe like a quicker little chat before we get into the Q&A. While I'm pulling up these reviews, oh wait, no, they're literally right here. The first review you guys left was in the Q&A on Spotify for how to get out of your sad era and be happy again. And one of you guys said, very grateful for this episode. Just hearing you speak on life is so relatable and helpful trying to navigate through my 20s. Thank you. And that was from Key. Thank you. That's very sweet. And Nicole Hart said, or I think Nicole, or at Hart, Nicole at Hart 82 said, I'm a first time listener as I follow you on IG and YouTube. It felt really cozy and like I was sitting talking to a friend, and you were so relatable. Thank you so much. Like I literally live for you guys' Q&As, for you guys' reviews, like all those things, because that's really the only connection that we can have unless you guys are like sharing something in your stories or like tagging me in something with the podcast. So like it is so nice, and I've, obviously I can see like that like people are listening. Like there is like a little app where I can like pull up how many listens that there are, but it's like that's just a number. Like until I am like able to like hear from you guys, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like it's actually going out to like anyone that I'm like connected with. So thank you so much for these reviews. And on the ins and outs episode for 2024, one of you guys said, hi, I recently subscribed to your YouTube channel. I've been loving your videos. First time listening to your podcast. It's a plus as well. Keep up the great content. And that's Eugenia Moe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And another little review you guys left was one that I already read. And I think that that is all of the reviews. I'm going to like double check to see if you guys left any on the podcast. What's it called? The podcast reviews on Apple Podcasts. Wow. Oh my God. Yay. One of you guys did. Oh my God. This makes me so happy. Now, this, the reviews that you guys leave on Apple Podcasts are actually how people find this podcast. Like on YouTube and on TikTok and on Instagram, there are tons of ways for people to find this podcast because, or not this podcast, to find the content because the apps like push it out to people. Podcasts don't do that. Like how many times have you ever just like randomly listened to a podcast? Like very rare. You probably listen to it from like someone sharing it or someone talking about it or maybe you saw like someone share that they were listening to something on their stories, but it's very rare you're just scrolling through the podcast app and you just like, I don't know, find something random. So the reviews that you guys give are what helps the like algorithm in the app to share my podcast with people who would like something similar. So these mean so much. So let me read this one. So this says, Virtual Big Sister, I really love this podcast. It's a like a breath of fresh air to experience the feeling of being understood and supported by someone who doesn't know you. I enjoy watching Shaughnessy's channel on YouTube where she talks about her love of books and reading. I enjoy reading too. And after her mentioning Love You Most podcast, it really grasped my attention. I love how peaceful her messages are and how encouraging she is even during difficult times in her life. Listening to her advice challenges me to be a better woman, sister, daughter, and partner. She's a virtual big sister I didn't know I needed. And that's from Jazz. Thank you. Oh my gosh, I could scream. I don't want to like blow out your eardrums, but thank you guys so much. I will continue to read your reviews as you guys leave them. They mean so much. And again, that's how people find the podcast. So continue to leave them. And it just makes me feel like so happy and connected to you guys. Because again, there's really no way like, on any other app, like if I share something, you guys can comment. There's no way for you guys to do that on the podcast. So it really makes me feel like there's actual people like who are listening. Now let's get into the questions that you guys asked for our little Q&A segment. I always answer every single question that you guys ask. So I will answer the ones that you guys left on Monday. I always leave up the Q&A box on the Love You Most Pod Instagram on Monday, so you guys can always like leave your questions there. First question you asked was update about your feelings after using a Kindle for a while. I actually just shared this like last night on my Instagram stories. I love my Kindle. I use it every single night. I usually use it when I'm like twisting my hair because I need to be hands-free. Sometimes I'll use it when I'm eating lunch, like, and I want to read and I'm like literally, again, need to be hands-free. I also use it a lot at night, especially during the summer, whenever I want to read outside as the sun's setting, because there's obviously light on a Kindle that you don't get with a physical book. And I also love, love, love reading my Kindle if I feel like the words are too small in a book. Like if the text is just super, super small, sometimes it can be daunting to like get into it. But on a Kindle, you get to actually like zoom in or just like have bigger text. So I really enjoy it. And I have a Kindle Scribe and I think I love it like even better because it's almost like the same size as a like physical book. So with a Kindle paper, a Kindle Paperwhite, it's smaller. So you're gonna have to change the pages like more times than you would with a regular like physical book. But what I love about the Scribe, among many things, one thing I love about it is that like it is almost the identical size of like a paperback book. So as you're turning the page, it's almost the identical like amount of words that would be on a regular page. So it's really easy to like read. And I also really love that it has the longest battery life out of all Kindles. So all Kindles are great. Honestly, I bought one of my friends a Kindle and she's like enjoying it, and bought Brady a Kindle and he likes his too. So there's a lot of great things about a Kindle. Again, I don't think that a Kindle is better than a physical book by any means, just like I don't think an audiobook is better than a physical book. There's just a lot of things that aren't better than a physical book, but there are times where I feel like I cannot read a physical book and I need to like listen to an audiobook. Like example, if I'm driving or if I'm like doing the dishes or something, like I literally cannot listen. I cannot read a physical book. So that's where an audiobook comes into play. And the same goes for a Kindle. I think sometimes people are like, don't use a Kindle. Like it's going to take away physical books. Like no one wants to take away physical books. Like we're just using it in addition to a physical book. It's just another way to like continue to read and enjoy reading with another avenue, like if you're not able to read a physical book or if you just don't enjoy it. I know some people like reading on a Kindle better because they feel like they read faster on it, and like that's fine too. Like it's, everyone has their own preference, but I know for me, I just love like all versions of books. Any version, give me anytime you give me a book, I'm gonna eat it up. And another question you asked was, I love your vibe. What's your favorite podcast besides yours? That is a great question. I feel like I go through phases of podcasts. So I used to be in a phase of like a lot of like learning, a lot of self-development, a lot of like, you know, I want to be this uber productive like person. And I don't think that there's anything bad with that person or version of myself, but I just am not her anymore. So I used to listen to a lot of, who did I listen to? Now that I even think about it, I literally can't even like think of who I used to listen to. Now I listen to a lot of podcasts that are just like fluff, fun, mostly because I really like to give my brain a break. I think in the past, I would listen to podcasts that were all like work related because I'm like, okay, when I wake up in the morning, I need to be like, be productive, like learn, grow, da da da. After work, if I'm listening to podcasts, learn, grow, da da da. If I'm in the car, like every second needs to be used to like grow. But then again, like now I think I'm realizing that also my brain needs a break. And if I'm using every single second of my energy to listen to things that are going to help me like grow, when am I going to get time to like relax, you know? So I don't listen to a ton of podcasts. I really liked the But You Haven't Seen My Bookshelf by Heather McCleary. She talks about books. And I listen to audiobooks a lot. Like sometimes I'll listen to the What We Said podcast, which they like have these like little funny, like they'll ask their listeners to like send in like, I don't know, dating questions or like, I don't know, things that are very specific, different stories, like proposal stories or family drama stories, and they'll like read them and react. So I think those are kind of fun sometimes, but then sometimes I'm just like, I don't really feel like that either. So there are, I don't know, few podcasts that I like am obsessed with, like, and by few I mean literally none, because I just kind of cycle through whatever I feel like. I do like the Too Smart for You podcast by Alexis Barker, Barber. She talks about like self-care and like, you know, how to deal with people who try to make you feel small, just a lot of like self-love type stuff, and it feels very like soft and calm and slow. And I also love supporting other Black creators, so I really like her podcast. The Higher Learning podcast is a podcast that I've also listened to a lot. I feel like I used to listen to it a lot more, but now I feel like I again listen to things that are more less for growth and learning and more just to like simmer my brain down and like, you know, relax. So I just kind of going through phases, and, you know, maybe in 6 months I'll be back on my, like, she's going to be a CEO, like, mindset. I don't really know, but that's for another future Shaughnessy to figure out. And another question that you guys asked was how to get to love yourself. By the way, I love your content. I've talked about this so much, and I'm going to say it. If I haven't said it 100 times, you probably already know what I'm about to say. Other people who are listening who aren't new here. But if you're struggling to learn to love yourself, I think you need to learn how, like, learn who you are and, like, know yourself. I don't think you can really love yourself if you don't really know yourself that well. And I think sometimes we feel like we know ourselves because we, like, see ourselves through how other people view us. So, like, example, if you're, like, the funny friend, like, you're like, oh, well, I, like, know who I am. Like, I'm funny. Like, I'm the funny girl. Like, I'm this or I'm that. But sometimes, well, not sometimes, a lot of the time, we are not who people see us. Like, we're not who people, literally my brain cannot function to like get this out of my mouth. I'm thinking it, I know how to say it, but we are not the people that people see us as. And I know that's not how to say what I'm trying to say, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, some people will view us as the funny friend. And yes, we are that, but we are also so much more. And there's so many more parts of us that other people won't see. But if we don't explore that ourselves, then like no one sees that part of us, you know? So I think the way to explore who you are and learn more about yourself is to date yourself in the same way that you would date a partner. And one thing that I actually want to do more of this year, so I did a lot of in the last probably 2 years, I've done a lot of solo dates where I like go on picnics and like sit outside and things like that. And this year I kind of want to step it up a little bit. So I went on my first solo trip, which was so incredible. Like, would recommend it 10 out of 10 to everyone. But I also want to go like on solo dinners where I like dress up and like actually put time and intention into like spending time with myself. And like, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go on a solo date. Like, I'm gonna, you know, sit outside my backyard and like read a book, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I think because I've like done that for the past 2 years, I want to like, I don't know, dig a little deeper and like it might be a little scary, but like go to a movie by myself or just do things like that are different. Because I feel like after I went on that solo trip with myself, you're probably just thinking like, that's not that's weird, but like, why would a solo trip by yourself feel so life-changing? But I think like the more you date yourself, the more you realize that like you are able to make yourself happy and like you don't have to rely on the world to like bring you some kind of self-gratification, or you don't have to rely on like the world to give you a better career or job or whatever to like be happy. It's like you can bring that into your life yourself just by like focusing on things that you love, or like focusing on your interests, focusing on just like, I don't know, the most random, small, unique things that like only you would really understand about yourself. So I don't know, in a long roundabout way, long story long, I think the best way to learn how to like love yourself and just like hone in on that this year, which I feel like a lot of us are wanting to do that, is to get to know yourself. And to know yourself, I think you have to date yourself and start with solo dates. Start small if it feels a little scary to do something big. And as you get more comfortable dating yourself, just try more and more things that make you a little bit more and more uncomfortable. And I think it's a good thing. For me, that has been like one of the most life-changing things. And I was actually telling like my management the other day, I was like, if I tell one more person to go on a solo date, I'm literally going to punch myself in the face, because I say it so much so that it's like annoying to me because I say it so much. But I think I say it so much because it has been life-changing for me. And it's made me go from feeling like I need to rely on friends or partners or family members to like make me happy. And it's made me realize that like I can be happy and bring that into my life by myself. And so then that opens up like so much more, I don't know, so much more for your friends, family, and people you love. Like you're not putting that pressure on all those people to like have to bring that joy into your life for you. And then when they do bring it into your life, it's an addition, but it's not like a, what's the word? It's not, I can't even think of the word, but it's a good addition. So those are all the questions that you guys asked for our little book segment. I feel like by the time we get to the book segment, there like really isn't a ton that I need to talk about, because I feel like I talk about books so much, like on just every platform, that maybe you guys are tired of books, but maybe you're not. So this last month, I didn't really read a ton of great books. Like they're all pretty mid, but I think that they were mid because I loved Into the Dark by Jessa Hastings so much, which comes out February 13th. And I cannot wait to read it. Oh my God. I'm like literally freaking out. So the new book, I think, I can't say for sure, but I think the new book has the like footnotes in it that the copy that I have does not have. So I'm really excited to read those, because I feel like it'll give me an even deeper look into like Magnolia and like all the characters in the book. I just love that series. I love that series so much. I can't stop talking about it. It's just too good. The author literally writes it like it's poetry. It feels like I'm reading poetry. It feels like, you know how sometimes you'll read a book and you're like, this is going to be a classic? I could see that series like actually being a classic series, like something that people like dissect down the line. But I think it's because, one, it's written so in such a unique way. It's written like you can feel the things that the characters are feeling, and the author describes the things that are happening in a way that's like so, like the reader can understand it, I think, better than any other writer has like been able to explain like feelings. And I could see it being dissected. Maybe I'm just saying that because I love the series, but I could see it being dissected in like a, I don't know, English class or something. Other books that I read that really like, I don't know, made me think. Saving Noah by Lucinda Berry. I read that book and it made me, I don't even really know how I feel about it, because I think I rated like 3 stars, but it just kind of made me like think about how like in life we feel like there's black and white, but then there's like also gray. Like, so in the book, the main character, he is like someone who has assaulted women. And so obviously like the world is going to like shun this person because it's like a terrible thing to do. But then it shows from the perspective, like the whole book is from the perspective of the mom and the dad. And so of course, as a mom and a dad, you're going to want to, one, believe your child, but you're also going to want to like help your child. And so one of the parents is like very like, you know, this person can be homeless. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm washing my hands of this child. And the other parent is like, no, this is our child. We can never give up on them. We need to get them help. So it was very interesting to see both of those. And I was talking to someone the other day about like how parents, they are parents literally for life. And how like that's kind of like a crazy and scary and happy and sad thing. Like all the emotions, like it's just kind of wild how that human is linked to you forever, no matter like what they do or who they become. And I think that book is such a like interesting take on that. It would be great for a book club. And what else did I read? It also was like a very dark book. So like definitely don't go into that like if you're not in like a good headspace. Honestly, reading that book whenever it's gray skies outside might not be the best idea, because it kind of makes you like lose faith in humanity in a little bit. Like, but then I read 13 books over the month, and like again, most of them were just like mid. But I am reading Luca right now by Gray Huffington. Really enjoying that book, and I just started Done and Dusted by Layla Sage. And that book is like really cute so far. I really, 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 really want to read books by authors this year that like aren't hyped up. I read like Hooked on You by by Rihanna Ladeau. And I think that book only has like, I don't know, a few reviews, like 25 or something like that. So I want to read more books like that, that have like very few reviews, that I can just like give a opinion on without having like other people's opinions kind of like changing how I think or feel about a book. I don't know. I also read The Frenemy Fix Up, which I really, really liked that book. I think that it was a more like realistic take on a friends with benefits situation, because the characters, like honestly, the guy was a little bit unlikable at times. But like the couple, they just were friends with benefits, and it shows that progression of like going from friends with benefits to like more than that. But I think the difference in that book and in most books is that like it was awkward. Like their transition was not easy. It was very like, so should I tell her how I feel, or like are we still just messing around? Like, should I? Like, it was just very awkward. And I think I really liked that because it felt more real to like real life versus in most books, it would be like, okay, we're friends with benefits. Oh, now we both have feelings at the same time. We both share our thoughts at the same time. And it's like perfect. And we live happily ever after. But this book did not feel like that. And I think I really enjoyed it for that reason. So yeah, I hope you guys like the book segment. I hope you enjoyed this whole episode. If you guys do like these segments, please let me know. If you don't, if you want to like cut one out, if you're like, bye, like, let's get rid of the books. Let's get rid of the Q&A. Let's get rid of like, honestly, the whole podcast. Actually, don't tell me that if you want to, like, just stop listening if you don't like it. But if you want to get rid of like any of the parts of this podcast, let me know. I really want this podcast, as always, just to feel like two friends just hanging out. I want it to feel cozy. I don't want it to feel like that heavy, like, self-help, like, you need to be this or you need to be that. Because like, maybe none of this that I shared in this episode resonates with you at all. And like, that's totally fine. Like, you don't have to take any of this away. You can just like listen to it and like enjoy it for what it is and like keep moving about your day. Like, don't feel like you need to change anything about you, your relationships, or anything based on this episode. Just take what you need and leave the rest, or don't take anything and just like enjoy it while you're listening to it and like move on to the next thing after this episode's over. So I love you most, more than you know, or more than anyone you know. And well, maybe a lot, maybe not, but I love you a lot. And I'll see you guys in the next episode on Friday morning. Bye, guys.